us on the line, none other than Aki Anastasio. And I'm actually going to use him to settle an argument. Good morning, Aki. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Hi, Zanati. How are you guys doing?
You're excellent, thank you. So we were talking a little bit earlier. Zanati said something about a post office. I said, I don't believe we have post offices anymore. It's like the public protector. It's gone. It's just not, they're not an essential service, are they?
Well, I'll tell you what, I had to go renew my driver's, not my driver's, my car license just before the lockdown started off. So I did discover a post office, and I did discover good use for a post office.
Ah, so there we go.
One point to me, thank
you. No,
okay,
so
Nutty 15 love.
I love it.
You know, because no one posts letters anymore, you know, I mean, and you're not worried about transmitting disease, because by the time it gets anywhere, the whole pandemic will be completely over, so that's not a concern. But either way, what I think we could determine by what is or isn't essential services is what we're really, really missing. And of course, many people missing cigarettes, many people missing, you know, just like a single malt whiskey, but that's a separate issue. And others of us missing our sorbet. And you're involved in sorbet as well. And we were having this conversation around what is happening to the beauty industry and how this is all evolving. Can you give us some perspective on this?
Yeah, Howard, good morning to you and Zanati. Yeah, it's actually been devastating for many businesses, not just the beauty business, but I think that many businesses have been completely decimated because of the uncertainty as to where exactly they stand on the different level breakdowns. And, you know, where the beauty industry is, and you're specifically talking about sorbets and you know, just beauty salons in general, anywhere where you have to physically touch somebody to make them look beautiful, and I include barbers, for example. Absolutely. You see what I look like at the moment. I look like I'm beginning to resemble a Neanderthal man because I haven't been able to get to my barber.
Absolutely.
But it's been very tragic, and you know, I quite frankly, I don't know how many of these businesses in the beauty industry and the restaurant industry are going to survive this for much longer, because it's really quite tough that you have a business that's just literally lying redundant at the moment because you cannot do anything. So it's had a tremendous impact on not only the morale of business owners and staff within the industry, but just the entire industry. We just don't know where we stand right now. Mm.
And what worries me is you've got this development of this black market or underground market, where all of a sudden people are going to other people's homes to cut their hair, etc. What worries me is when that becomes convenient and we go back to whatever is determined as normal life, there's going to be a lag while people still say, well, you know, it was so convenient having so-and-so come to my house, I might as well just have them go there. And that means they don't pay the salon, they don't pay, obviously there's no tax that goes into the public funding, and we have this whole industry developing on the side, which is not particularly good for the economy at all.
No, absolutely. And let's not for one minute, take aside from the dangers of COVID-19 and the coronavirus. It is very dangerous. We fully support what the government is doing. Mm, and I think 100%. That it's very, very important for us to adhere and follow the government regulations, because we're doing it for all our own safety. And the safety of our customers and the safety of human beings is of the utmost importance. I mean, that is a non-negotiable. Mm. But yes, you do raise a very interesting issue, because right now what is happening, and you know, I'm seeing it on Facebook, I'm seeing it all over the place, and people are desperate, and people want to get those gray hairs dyed, and they want to get their nails done. And there's a lot of that market happening at the moment, the at-home market, which is kind of informal and very dangerous. And are they following the correct hygiene protocols?
Well, I'm just
going to
say,
the most critical part.
That's the other aspect, is if you have somebody going from house to house and aren't following, you know, when a salon opens, patients, you know that they're going to follow, or you would hope that they're going to follow, some very, very strict regulations. Whereas if they're going from home to home, you're really not so sure how that is going to, how that is going to happen.
No, absolutely, precisely. And you know, we are looking at this very seriously as a group, and I'm a franchise owner, but I'm on the committee where we are looking at how lockdown is impacting us and what we are going to do as a group once we reopen. And I can tell you that Sorbet as a group is taking very serious hygiene protocols, in place, and what we are busy doing. And we started doing this even before the lockdown started.
I was just going to say, I always go to Sorbet man for myself. And I can tell you that way before COVID was a thing, I was very comfortable being there just because it always followed quite strict protocols around, and obviously it wasn't COVID related, but there was never a concern about that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the thing is that this virus has forced every single business to take a look at hygiene and take it to a different level altogether. And this is what we are seeing happening across the world at the moment. And we are following those kind of guidelines from the World Health Organization, what other industry leaders are doing. So together, they are all working together to make sure that you are working in an absolute hygienic and safe environment for your staff, for your customers, and that this virus doesn't get transmitted in any way. So the next phase, once we reopen, we are looking at these things. And as you correctly said, Howard, I mean, we had those safety precautions in place. We are now going to take it into a different level. And, you know, obviously you've heard of the temperature checks. You've heard of, you know, sanitizing your entire place and work surfaces at all times. We are going to be putting in Perspex glass, for example, between the client and the therapist who you're going to be involved with while you're doing your nails, so that there's no transmission of any kind of saliva. On top of that, we're wearing masks. On top of that, there's going to be strict hygiene protocols across everything, where we sterilize all of your equipment. You know, washing of hands is going to be critical before and after every single treatment. What else are we doing? Every bit of utensil that we are using is going into a sterilization cabinet that kills any viruses and germs, for example. So we're doing everything that is humanly possible to make sure that you are walking into an environment, once these beauty salons and the Sorbets and the Sorbet mans come back online, that you're walking in and you can be assured that we have done everything possible that there's no transmission of this virus. And quite frankly, I can say with a great deal of pride that we are probably on almost the level of a hospital when you walk in, that you know that you're getting this clean, hygienic environment.
In terms of regulations and the guidelines that you will follow when you reopen, I understand, for example, for nail therapy, you'll have Perspex screens. Is there any concern that maybe some services will not be able to resume, for example, like massage services? Because, I mean, that's
very hands-on.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah, Zinati, that's a very good question. We don't know yet as to those things. I mean, there's obviously things like waxing, for example, where you actually make physical contact. Look, we've been using gloves, latex gloves are there to be used for that. But, you know, I think it's going to be a bit awkward doing a massage wearing gloves. I don't know how that's going to work. But I think when you look at the World Health Organization, they do set those guidelines out, and the bargaining council and the cosmetic industry in South Africa, which is a body which we all belong to, they will set those guidelines, and they are doing this in conjunction with scientists and with other industry bodies across the globe, which we will obviously follow and maintain those guidelines that they tell us to. And we don't know yet which of those services are going to be available or not, but you know, that's a valid question. I don't know the answer to the massage part, but I assume that they will get around it. And I think that, you know, there's so much about this virus that we don't know, and we're slowly discovering it. But I watched a fascinating interview last night from a senior doctor and virologist in the US, and they were saying that if 60% of us wear masks, we can eliminate this virus to a large degree. So if there's 60% of the population wearing masks, you literally stop the spread of this virus completely. So I think that we all have a role to play not only just in businesses, but just in public, the way we walk around and what we do and the close proximity. And social distancing is going to be one of those really big things in our salon. You know, I'll give you an example. You know, we've had to cut down on the amount of staff that we will have at any one time in a business. So you have to enforce that social distancing. So you don't want too many people in a small confined space. So you're going to have 1.5 meter distances, which means that we have to reduce our capacity. So if we could say, for example, serve 20 customers at one time, we've got to cut that down to 60% of that to keep that social distancing enforced. But with regards to massages, I don't know.
And I'm hoping for the best because they're heavenly and Howard has been working me too hard.
And me?
Yes.
Me. It's our listeners that are very,
other
very
people as well, Zinat.
word on the street. Is there any indication as to when you will be out?
We don't know. You know, we are uncertain at this point. We fall, we actually don't even know where exactly we fall, but it's somewhere between level one and level two. Oh. We hear that the restrictions are going to be eased in at the end of this month down to level three. We don't know which industries, but obviously, you know, e-commerce has been opened up, so sorbets yes. are now able to deliver goods. So if you're running out of your Dermalogica environment, 365 sorbet products, etc., we can deliver those skincare products to you. But when we are physically going to be able to open and resume those kind of services, your guess is as good as mine, but I would say if we are lucky and the way we're going with the current trajectory, it could be in June if we're lucky, could be in July.
I hope it's sooner than later.
I honestly don't know, but it's making a lot of our staff members anxious. We've had to, as a business, you know, look at different finance options and extending things like overdrafts because there's no revenue coming in. Our biggest concern is our staff members. And, I got to say about sorbet as a head office, which is a company that's owned by Long for Life. They're doing incredible things for our staff members. I mean, just, this month, for example, what they've done is that they've allocated 7 million rands worth of food vouchers that they are going to be handing over the next 2 months to 3,500 citizens that belong to the sorbet groups, so all the nail technicians and that sort of thing, over and above what we're doing together with UIF and individual owners itself. You know, the actual head office is distributing over 7 million rands worth of food vouchers to the different staff members across the group, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. Another bit of good news, of course, not on that level, is you see, Zanati, my scalp doesn't look this healthy just naturally.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's not genetic. Sorbet has a tonic, a scalp tonic. Ooh. I've never told anybody this before. So Aki, this is the first time I'm revealing it because everyone thinks I've got a naturally.
Oh, yes.
Magnificent and healthy glistening scalp, but it's actually a sorbet tonic with vitamins and stuff that and I was running very low and I was panicking and my kid said, Dad, pull yourself together. You can go online and you can order. Sorbet is delivering.
I only heard that
last night. Is this a secret, Howard? The tonic, eh?
That's the secret to my very, very healthy scalp. Of course, it hasn't helped, you know, me grow hair genetically. But, you know, we can't expect complete miracles. Aki Anastasio, thank you for taking the time to speak to us.